potential business opportunities in the city of Goleta. I want to welcome all of you, and this is the beginning of the journey of creating these regulations. So there will be a lot of things that a lot of questions that we will look into, and a lot of issues that we'll learn together. Just for logistics for today, this workshop is being recorded, and you will have an opportunity to speak as well. There will be a brief presentation by me, and then this is truly just going to be a workshop where we want to hear from the community how you feel about marijuana operations. So when we are done, we will ask if anybody has any questions, and we'll be passing around the microphone. And if you raise your hand, we'll give you the microphone. If you can give your name and then give your comment or your question. We have Jaime here, who is taking down all your comments and questions, and we're going to put it all into a master document and posting it on the website. If you don't know already, there is a city webpage dedicated to this particular topic, and you'll find notifications of future meetings and more of the community comments and questions that will come in. Yeah, and consider, you can certainly send your comments and questions to Jaime and I. Our emails are on this website if you don't feel comfortable speaking up today. But this will be the first meeting of multiple meetings. We will be going to council September 5th to initiate this process. So again, we are, I don't think I even introduced myself. I'm Winnie Kai, the deputy city attorney, and I am not a marijuana expert. So we are going to be relying on some of our community members to educate us on, you know, what marijuana operations are all about. So I thought I'd go over the existing laws. And then it's really where the city lacks laws and regulations that we need the community input. So let's start with what we do know. So what we know is federal law prohibits the use of marijuana and the operation of marijuana businesses. But the caveat there is that the Department of Justice has issued a memo telling their federal prosecutors not to prioritize the prosecution of marijuana cases. That might change any day given our current administration, but it's still illegal under the federal law. So now you move on to state law, which is the California law. There's currently sort of a dual regulation of marijuana. One is medical marijuana. In around the 2008-2009 time period, that was when medicinal use of marijuana became legal, and it was limited to people who could, obtain a doctor's note that, you know, they were qualified patients, and they had primary caregivers who could cultivate marijuana and provide marijuana to them. So that was when the state of California started allowing for the use of marijuana. And then in 2015, the state passed a law that basically allows for medical operations of marijuana businesses by requiring licensing of all of these businesses. So there's a structure of about 15 licenses that would go towards marijuana cultivation, manufacture, retail sale, transport, distribution, delivery, and testing. And that was created some state agencies that was in charge of issuing these licenses. And then in 2016, last November, Prop 64 was passed, which basically legalized the use of marijuana for people age 21 and older. It was called the Control, Regulate, and Tax Adult Use of Marijuana Act. The AUMA is how we will be referring to it in this presentation. And that basically allowed people age 21 and older to cultivate up to 6 plants in their residence and use marijuana and to possess a certain amount of marijuana. But the state law does prohibit any prohibit marijuana use where tobacco is prohibited. So the city has secondhand smoke tobacco regulations, like a lot of other places, no smoking indoors, no smoking in public places, whatnot. So that still all applies to now the recreational use of marijuana. So, and then that also created a licensing structure for the same sort of licensing structure for recreational commercial operations of marijuana businesses. And then the state recently passed a bill, a trailer bill for called the Medicinal and Adult Use Regulation and Safety Act, that basically consolidated the two medical and non-medical licensing structures into one, so that the state will just issue issue licenses under sort of one agency, one application form, and, you know, one structure. So then I move on to our existing City of Goleta marijuana regulations. The City of Goleta in 2009 passed an ordinance that prohibits all medical marijuana operations. So all dispensaries, anything, any business operation that would deliver, cultivate, sell, they're not allowed in the City of Goleta. There were two businesses that were grandfathered. That means they are legal nonconforming. They existed before our 2009 ordinance. Therefore, they are allowed to continue operating. So the city recognized those two dispensaries back in 2015. In terms of cultivation, so I'm going to go through the major categories of the marijuana operation. Cultivation, so not allowed. Medical marijuana, not allowed, except for those two grandfathered businesses. Same with manufacture, extraction, testing, or processing. Those are all kind of lumped into one category, and that's, again, not allowed except for the two dispensaries. And then the other major category is deliveries. The City of Goleta does allow deliveries into the city, but the delivery business cannot be located in the City of Goleta. So, you know, these were all laws that were created before the AUMA or Prop 64 passed. So this was all in context of, you know, where we were with the state laws. So that's the current law. Whether or not that's going to change will depend on the community input as well as council direction. So again, the major categories are retail sales, cultivation, delivery, manufacture, and the last one is really transport within the city. That's basically just using our roads to get from one place to another. That's preempted by state law. State law says cities cannot ban the use of their roads for transporting of marijuana. You can prevent it from ending in your city, but you cannot prevent people from just using your roads to get from one city to another or the county to another city. So then that's medical marijuana. Recreational marijuana under the same categories, retail sales. We have no council, we don't have any regulations yet on whether or not to allow recreational marijuana businesses to operate. We have, the next topic is cultivation, and we do have an ordinance in place to allow for cultivation of personal cultivation. So no commercial cultivation, but yes, at home, and that is in line with state law, which has allowed for personal cultivation of up to 6 plants. In the city, you can cultivate up to 6 mature plants or 12 immature plants, and they are all, this is for personal, and this is all has to be confined to a 100 square foot place area. Deliveries, it's sort of the same issue, same as the medical marijuana is. Deliveries are allowed into the City of Goleta. Delivery businesses are not allowed to locate in Goleta. manufacture, extraction, testing, or processing. We're still waiting for council direction on that. So your public input on that would be really helpful. As just a first blush, any kind of manufacturing, extraction, testing, or processing will be based upon where these activities are zoned. So we do have zones in our city that allow for that. The most basic type of regulation, if we were going to allow it, would be to limit that kind of activity to where those activities are actually allowed in, you know, various zones. And then lastly, the transport category under recreational marijuana is the same as medical, which is you cannot prohibit the use of your roads for transport between, you know, another city to, you know, they just have to use city. They are allowed to use city roads to get from one place to another. So that is the existing laws. Just a little bit more sort of background before we start to engage in some dialogue here is that there's also an opportunity with under the AUMA to tax marijuana businesses. So that's going to be another big consideration for the community and for council is, you know, it may drive whether to allow it because there is substantial opportunity to derive some revenues out of this whole new enterprise. So the state is going to be charging an excise tax of 15% on medical and non-medical marijuana businesses. The local entities can tax cultivation, manufacture, and retail sales. The local entities can impose an additional sales tax on top of that on any recreational businesses and activity. Any tax that the city would want to impose would need to be put on the next ballot for the electorate to choose. But the city council can certainly initiate that effort to put it on the next ballot. And, you know, the rationale for tax is these revenues would go towards the cost of enforcement of state and local regulations. It would go towards funding funding the public about what the new laws are all about. That is something, you know, as we weigh whether to allow, not allow, that's something kind of a factor that's floating out there. In addition, another factor in whether to allow or not allow commercial cultivation, outdoor cultivation, and retail sales is that if cities don't allow for that, the city will not qualify to get funding from a state grant program that's going to go towards law enforcement, fire protection, and other public health and safety programs. So you may argue that you may not need any of those if you choose to ban commercial cultivation, personal outdoor cultivation, and retail sales. But that is a consideration as we move forward in, you know, allowing or not allowing. So that's all I have to provide before we want to hear from you guys. So at this moment, I'd like to hear your opinions, your concerns, your questions. We'll try to answer the questions and address concerns if I have the information. If not, we'll have to put it on the website. We intend on addressing questions on the master document on the website. So if you have a question, please raise your hand and somebody will pass you the microphone. So I believe the gentleman over there has a question.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Mike Miller. The question I have is that we have a neighbor that just installed a marijuana greenhouse, and I was wondering how we were going to mitigate the impacts on the surrounding neighborhoods. So, for example, the fans for the greenhouse go like 24/7, so we've got that noise abatement issue. The traffic in the neighborhood has increased to that house quite a bit, It's like almost has a infrastructure associated with it. Even though it was supposed to be an individual medical marijuana use, the owner of that house doesn't live there, so he's renting it, but he has the greenhouse there. And he's got people kind of working in the greenhouse. And we're seeing people in the neighborhood, you know, coming in that I've never recognized before. And they stop and they do short visits. We don't know what's going on. So a key question is, you know, regards to safety. You know, how do we ensure that it's a legitimate business? It's only for the individual, that they're not trafficking to other people, you know, to make it like free trade or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is that we're getting the secondhand marijuana smoke going over the fence. We've got young grandkids. We don't really want them intaking that. And so how do we regulate, you know, outdoor smoking associated with that so it doesn't impact the neighborhood?
Okay. So we have a current cultivation regulations that addresses some of the issues that you raised. So you said that there is a greenhouse, and our cultivation ordinance does require that any cultivated marijuana be secured within a structure, or if it's outside, that it be secured by a fence. So it sounds like there's already a greenhouse enclosing this.
Yeah, I can elaborate a little bit. So there is a greenhouse. They increase the height of the walls, and they put locks on the gates. And so, you know, with the intent that they want to secure it because they're afraid of theft and things. That doesn't make us feel more secure being next door where they've got this high-value product that they're worried somebody's going to steal it when our fence is right there, right? We're sharing it, so.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the theft issue, I mean, it's going to, that's a difficult one to address, and there are certainly ways that the city could, you know, in continuing this process of regulating, require more security measures. There's in our ordinance, you know, we were talking about the odor and the potential, you know, the traffic, that's a little bit harder to connect to the house, but there is, you can't cultivate in a manner that interferes with the quiet enjoyment of two or more properties. So to the extent that you're experiencing some nuisance problems, you are encouraged to make a complaint with the City of Goleta, and we have a code enforcement department that will look into items like that. But certainly they are that was written in our ordinance to sort of capture some of these nuisance issues that we, you know, may or may not see as we, you know, because when we passed this ordinance, cultivation was not allowed anywhere except with the two grandfathered businesses. And so, you know, that is what will capture your odor producing, you know, potentially aesthetics, you know, if it's overgrown or just kind of leaning into your yard. So, you know, that's where code enforcement will help you out. In terms of it being a lease, that this is a rental property, our code requires that, and state law also requires that if it is a leased property in which cultivation of marijuana is occurring, that the landlord have given permission.
Well, in this case, it is the landlord who's doing it.
Okay.
But he's not living there.
I see. Okay. So that is a legitimate use of the property, just so long as they are cultivating under the regulations that we have in place and the state laws. So I think that your other issues about the odors and the, you know, that I think we can adjust through code enforcement.
One other quick thing. So I don't know what's associated with processing marijuana after they, you know, harvest the crop, but that would be the same kind of concern, you know, with the environment, what kind of fumes and things like that come off of the processing?
Yeah, so with respect to cultivation, we don't have, we don't allow people at home to process or to, you know, process in any kind of major way that would have an impact upon the neighbors. So to the extent that that is occurring and needs to happen in a commercial space, And it needs to happen in the zones of the city where we do allow for that. So that will be our industrial zones. If any processing of marijuana is going to occur, it will most likely, it will, if council and the community goes that direction of allowing for processing, then for any commercial purposes, then it would happen in the industrial zones.
Hello, my name is Mark. I'm one of the operators of the current licensed dispensaries in Goleta. I guess my question is, I guess maybe it's more of a statement. I've been coming to Goleta City Council meetings in regards to marijuana regulations for almost a decade. The City Council instructed staff 10 years ago to come up with regulations. So I guess my question is do you guys have any intentions of starting an ad hoc committee working with the current businesses that do operate within the zone or within the area? Also, what are some of the things that you're moving forward to enforce? There's a lot of delivery services out there that are kind of confused with the idea. I know that I've spoke with the city. I'm allowed to provide these delivery services, their cannabis to deliver, but then I'm not allowed to wholesale it. State law doesn't allow for wholesale distribution currently and until January 2018. So I guess my main question, do you guys have any intention on starting an ad hoc committee to really hammer down on some of the misconceptions of cannabis and moving forward? We are really in favor of good, tight regulations. At my place, we're in favor of a realistic tax, maybe benefiting some of the schools. Enforcement, like you said, if you guys regulate, then the state will provide funding for you guys to enforce any legal activities. But we're, you know, we are in favor. And would you guys consider allowing the two current, forgive me for saying this, I've been waiting 10 years for regulations. So I have to assume that we're not going to be regulated. We're going to come up with all these ideas. We're going to get good input from the community, opposition in favor. But it's a very difficult thing to do in coming up with regulations. So is the intention of the staff to figure out how to generate revenue for the community and regulate the recreational distribution, cultivation, manufacturing, and testing, and allow for more shops to open? I guess that's my question is, this is the beginning of a very long relationship between the community, marijuana supporters, marijuana opposition. But I think it's kind of a joke because I've been waiting for 10 years for regulations. And we've always come in with support. We've never had opposition. We've never had any complaints. We've never been raided. Haven't had any theft, no armed robberies. I mean, everything that would create a negative impact in a community, Goleta just hasn't had that. Are you guys serious? Are you really going to move forward on regulations if there is no opposition and really good facts? That's it. I can ramble on for
years. Yeah. Let me answer the ad hoc committee. I mean, I'm not sure if that's going to happen. Certainly, as this process unfolds and you know, there is an interest in doing that. You know, certainly I encourage you to come to the September 5th council meeting. We are just right at the beginning of the process. You know, an ad hoc committee may be something that we form in the future to learn more about what's going on in our community. We could also hold another meeting workshop in which we have some of the marijuana business operators as well as other people who are interested in operating in Goleta come and provide their opinion as to, you know, what they'd like to see in terms of regulations. So, you know, this is a very fluid process. It's duly noted that you think an ad hoc committee, you know, would be a good idea. So thank you for that suggestion. And we are, like I said, you know, we are moving forward with some our city regulations lack some regulations now in light of Prop 64, AUMA. So council could direct us to just answer those questions that, you know, we don't have laws on, or council could ask us to revamp the entire scheme. So, you know, I can't really say what we're going to do at this point yet. Cecilia?
Somebody over here.
Okay.
Before I get over there.
Okay.
Can we just also ask that you keep the microphone closer to your mouth to make sure we can record? Thank you.
Okay. My name is Brian Adams. I've been a cultivator in the city of Goleta since 2008. In regard to the grandfather and things like that, it was never offered to any of the cultivators, any of the manufacturers, any of the other people. So you specifically have focused on retail, and you haven't considered the other businesses that were also actually operating at that point in time. I visited the city twice since then, and I've pretty much been told there's nothing we can do, there's nothing you can do, and you know, and when we figure it out, maybe you'll be caught in it. So I would ask that, you know, if you do consider something, there aren't just two grandfather businesses in the city, and that was something that was probably clear at the time that it happened, but they were the first ones that were there to be, you know, affected. And I think the concerns that you, with the neighbors and things like that, that were brought up, and effective regulation is what addresses that. That's what actually takes care of those things. You know, cultivation in residential isn't, you know, it doesn't fit. But we do have commercial areas, we do have safe areas. And as a business that's been operating for 10 years, as Mark said, we don't have any complaints. We don't have any robberies. We don't have neighbor issues. We don't have zoning issues. For the opposition, the people that look for that, you know, I hope that you guys can see that there are businesses that are run properly, and there are businesses that are done effectively and safely, and that with the right regulation, we could be there.
Thank you.
Hi, thank you. My name is Cecilia Brown, and Winnie, I'd appreciate getting some clarity on the number of plants that are allowed to be cultivated by each person or whatever. The concern here is that it should be by residence, not by number of people in each house. You didn't really clarify that. And if there is a nuisance issue, it should be indoors. I don't know why this gentleman has to experience the effects that he's getting from that. But my broader questions are about buffer zones for youth groups, sensitive sources, schools, churches. Just what are you going to consider? Are you going to consider things like churches, youth groups, where they congregate, buffers between commercial uses and residential uses? What is a consideration for that? There's no state regulation on that, and I know it's kind of all over the place if you look at various jurisdictions. I'm hoping that you don't monetize land use, that this isn't in an effort to turn our zoning into dollar signs, because that is frequent purpose of doing this. I appreciate that. But do you know whether or not there's several gentlemen that said they've never had, who are in the marijuana business, there's been no issues, no police services needed. But do you know have any expectations about how much is going to be involved with the sheriff, and how much is going to cost to enforce some activities that might not be legal or might be done correctly? Do you have, I mean, I think the council needs to know that in terms of the revenue that they're going to be getting, in terms of how much services are going to be needed to provide it. So I think that would be an important thing. Also, I'd like to see you work with the county to understand the issues between the two jurisdictions, and whether or not you're going to work cooperatively in terms of locating outlets, if that's what you're going to do. I'd like to see them be in shopping centers, not in neighborhood commercial, but in larger shopping centers where there's sufficient parking. I don't know if that's an issue, and it'd be nice to hear from the cannabis guys to know whether or not a retail store would foster lots of parking. I hear that in reading literature. I see that in reading literature. So I think that would be important to know as well. And note, there should be no cultivation on our ag properties whatsoever.
On what?
On our local ag. On our agricultural properties. Oh, and one last thing. I'm sorry. You know, the gentleman talked about our industrial areas. I think a consideration needs to be made that we don't have a lot of industrial areas. I've heard from the community and various sources, people I've talked to, that there is not sufficient industrial space for even them, for manufacturing and other things. So I think there needs to be a balance in looking at how you're going to use those spaces, or where you're going to allow manufacturing process for cannabis.
Hi, I'm George Wellis, and thank you for having this. I want to focus, a lot of interesting comments, I want to focus narrowly on something that you said. It's a feeling I have and a question for you, and that is, it's clear to me that something's going to go forward, and whatever goes forward, it's going to have impacts, and those impacts will tax our treasury if we do it right. So we're going to have education for perhaps for young people. We're going to have treatment for people who overdo it. We're going to have inspections, whether it's to see if what's really going on there is right. If someone calls in and said, I got sick, someone has to go and test the product and see if it's adulterated. There's all kinds of zoning issues. I doubt whether our two zoning enforcement people will be able to handle them initially. This leads to taxation. I'm not against the city making extra money on this for lots of things that we need, like our library. But I'd like to see the first round of taxation be dedicated to dealing with the impacts. Too often, what we do is we have taxation, and it's really tempting for certain public officials to say, well, we need a parking lot, we need something else, we need a city hall. We need to have these programs self-funded. We need to have it so that if someone does call and say that there's a problem, someone comes out. And we need some things that aren't complaint-driven. You see a smokestack, you got to go there. City needs, I'm not saying we have a police state or drones, but we have to have a way of dealing with the impacts of this. This is akin to what happens in the alcohol industry, very tightly regulated, very heavily taxed. And so my question, two-part, I think you said that if we're going to have a tax, it has to be this fall. What's the timing of the tax?
It would be placed on the next ballot, which is the next general election, November of 2018.
Okay, fine. So that gives us some time, and I'd say let's look carefully at that. It's also true that when you dedicate tax to something, that might raise the bar a little bit. About do you need two-thirds vote? We'll have to deal with that. But we are going to have impacts, and the city of Goleta does not have extra money to throw around. And if we're going to do this right, it's fine the state's going to give us some money for enforcement. In the past, they've given us money and taken it away. So we need this to be sort of self-funded as opposed to create a new burden. And if we can get, if people get dollar signs and they're going to use it for something else, we're going to have a mess. That's my little speech.
And perhaps to address your concern, there is a way, taxing is a way to say, okay, it's paying for the privilege of doing something in the city, the state. So the city could certainly think about creating a program to enforce, to educate. And in that way, you could charge a license fee to anybody who wants to start any kind of commercial operation. And so long as you back up the license fee with a fee schedule with, you know, whose time and how much that time costs, all that goes into the program, then that's another avenue to address the impacts that you're concerned about. Right. The fees can only be spent on the program. If you collect a license fee, it can only be spent on the actual. It's to compensate the city for the activities that we would go out and do that would educate and enforce. So, okay. Yes, go ahead.
My name is Barb Close, and I actually snuck in because I'm really from the county. And I wanted to come tonight just to hear what is being talked about. And one of the reasons is because we do have an ad hoc committee, and that committee has been operating in private, and there's no minutes, and there's no way for anybody in the public to know what's going on. And so that's been something that's been really troubling and very frustrating. To a lot of us in the unincorporated area. And so I just want to just, you know, if you do choose to do that in a way where the public doesn't know what's going on. I just want to say that it might be better to you know, have minutes or to do it in public, because there's no, it's not a public process. And so that's been really hard for us. We've had no hearings at all like this. And so we've been very much left out of the loop, which, you know, we're trying to deal with. But I just want to say, since the ad hoc committee did come up, we've had some major problems with that.
So let me try to understand you. The county created an ad hoc committee, and the meetings, they occur, but they're not televised. Okay, so yes, any kind of committee we form, we generally make, we notice it to the public, we make it available. You would be able to participate if any committee of the city of Goleta were to be formed.
Hi, I'm Elaine Falstrom. I'm a local Goleta resident for some time. My children grew up here. I have a business here. I just wanted to point out that I do use medical marijuana. I think there is a pre-misconception of the average use of a marijuana user. When I go in to get my medicine, there are several of the people that come in are about, the average age is about 60 years old. They're white collar workers. They're not young children, young 18-year-olds from IV coming in. They're workers. They're the average people that you see. They're your doctor. They're your lawyer. They're your nurse. They're everybody that's looking for a different alternative. We voted as a community. I believe it was 68% of the people voted to have cannabis in this city. I think we need to make sure that we understand that and we notate that, because our job is to do what the city has, the people in the city has asked for. I feel like there is a misconception of what cannabis is and what it can do. I know that many of the places give service people a discount because they're trying to get them off the prescription drugs. I know that patients that are in their 80s and 90s are looking for another alternative rather than, again, prescription drugs to get them to be able to sleep, to be able to cope with their life. And I just want to make sure that everybody takes that into consideration. No matter where your viewpoint is, whether you like marijuana or you don't, it's an option that many people need if they choose not to do a prescription drugs. We have an issue that, which is statewide, of over-medicating. No one has ever died on marijuana. People have died with alcohol, and I don't think that you can compare the two because they're completely different. So I guess my thing to everybody that is sitting here, make sure you're educated on what you're talking about and get education out. We need to educate people because they have false ideas of what is real. And we've been told a certain thing for many years that's just not true. And if you look at the research, and if you talk to people and you see the young kids that are epileptic, that have no other choice but can try cannabis and it's working, I don't know how you cannot push it forward and be helpful for it. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Hi. So my name is Ryan Howe. I have a licensed dispensary opening up next month in Santa Barbara. I also have a licensed cultivation facility in Santa Barbara County, which was granted to me by the city of Santa Barbara. But one of the other things that I do is I have a community outreach program. It's a volunteer organization. And that volunteer organization, we create research, videos, information flyers for various communities. And recently we conducted a survey and did a very exhaustive research on various facilities, municipalities across the state of California that are right now implementing laws consistent with state law. And so what we did was we prepared a 5-page report for the city of Goleta, and we included as part of this 5-page report What 19 municipalities are considering right now across the state of California, consistent again with the state regulations, as well as we included four different municipalities who are currently have tax regulations as well as licensing fees all laid out. They're already doing it. And we're here to submit this to you guys just as a form of information and perhaps to kind of help you as you, you know, start moving through the process of licensing some of these activities. I will say that recently there's been a lot of research and studies done. One study which was really interesting is the county of Santa Barbara, they estimate by the end of 2019 will be producing 3 million pounds of medical cannabis. This puts the city of Goleta in a lot of ways, it's a major opportunity with the warehouse space that you have here. If you zone it properly, if you regulate it properly, if you work with professional businesses like the ones that you currently have here, and the others that are moving into the space, it will be an enormous opportunity for Goleta, especially with the manufacturing, the storage, and the distribution areas. There is nobody else in the county. There is no other city in the county that at least I've seen, and I've been up in this area now for about 6 years, that has the warehouse space capacity that you currently have. And so I think that's a major opportunity for the city. And if you regulate it properly, if you tax it properly, if you are working with the right kind of operators, because really it's no different than working with, you know, wineries. It's really the same concept. I mean, you wouldn't really want, if you're living in a residential neighborhood, you wouldn't want a winery as your next door neighbor. You wouldn't want a beer distillery as your next door neighbor. It's the same thing. It's, you know, I wouldn't want somebody growing cannabis next to my house in Santa Barbara. So I know exactly how you feel. I mean, but if it's regulated properly, if it's zoned properly, if it's treated like a business, like the other businesses, it can be extremely effective, and it's being effective right now across the state. So that's what I wanted to say. That's why I'm here, and I wish you guys all the best. I really do. It's a great industry for people who are doing it the right way. So.
We have received a copy of this document from this gentleman, and we will be posting this on our website.
Hello, my name is Tracy Trotter, and I don't cultivate, but I do run extraction. I have been doing it in your community for 3.5 years. You could stand in front of my building for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, you wouldn't know what goes on. You wouldn't smell anything. You would have no adverse reaction whatsoever. What I'm asking you is when you get into this processing, there will be cultivators, there will be shop owners who will want to verticalize their licensing. Let them apply for a license for each category. I'm willing to apply for each one. I'll pay you a fee. If it's $1,000 for each one, I want an extraction and I want a transportation. That's all I want. I don't want to cultivate. I buy from the cultivators and I make oil from CO2 extraction. I also have an extractor in the city of Santa Barbara and I have one in the county. So I am probably the largest extractor only in Santa Barbara County. So I would like you to make sure that these things are not just given to one individual where they have every license. They need to apply for it, prove that they know what they're doing, understand the clean rooms, understand the processing. There's one other thing that I would like to point out, and that is nobody in here who is a cultivator or extractor should be allowed to do the testing. The testing should be on individual, no other licenses involved with it, because obviously it creates conflict of interest. That's it.
I'm Fred Kapp. I'm a longtime patient and advocate. Been going to these meetings a long time. It's 10, 11 years now with Mark. And I just had a few things straight. As far as the ad hoc goes, and I'm not here to argue with anybody, I've been to three meetings already in the last 3 months, and you can talk to Das Williams and Steve Lavagano, or they're in charge of that deal. And we've talked to them and sent them letters. So it is going on. In fact, there's even a website you can go to, and they'll tell you when the meetings are. So as far as testing goes, that's going to be mandatory. That's part of the state deal. They are going to be doing testing. So the state will have people out there that are going to be doing that. And as far as the plant count goes, there's already been a ruling, and it's called People v. Kelly, and it's based upon usage. My recommendation calls for 6 pounds. The new recommendation will call for 12 pounds, 99 plants in a 100-square-foot area. And okay, but even with the new ones, but People v. Kelly has been proven it's based upon your medical needs and what they are, and people that need oil need a lot. It takes 10 times as much product to make that product, so obviously it takes a lot more cannabis. As far as the smell, you know, I love it. I live up in North County, and I hate broccoli and cauliflower, and that's next to my house. I don't like that smell very much, but I can understand that, and I think these things will be addressed. As far as people, you know, smoking outside, you know, I don't like the cigarette smoke coming up, but it, where you can smoke a cigarette, is my understanding, you can smoke cannabis. You know, Las Vegas has it set up where you can't even really go anywhere. You can't even smoke in a room or anything. There's nowhere to go except in a private residence. So I don't think we can go to that extreme. But I think we can set aside, you know, get all sides together on this and reach some compromises. The fact is that people have spoken. You know, we passed 215, it was a 95, and you know, the Compassionate Use Act, and now the AUMA has been passed, and I just think we have to just work together, and it's here. I mean, there's a lot of delivery services already here. I mean, you know, things are here, you know. People are here that you know, maybe came after the grandfather or didn't. But we're going to have to find a way of working with it, and I'm sure the sides can come together on this and reach some mutual agreements. But you know, we're in the right step here, and everybody has a right to be here and has a right to voice their opinion. And I know everybody doesn't share our opinion as strongly as we do, but, you know, we're here, and let's just work together on this. That's all I want to say. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Troy Tanga. I'm a licensed cultivator in Mendocino County, and I'm also on there. Registration for Santa Barbara County. My question was on a different subject. You were mentioning that if you didn't grant the cultivation licenses, the retail license, etc., that you wouldn't receive the funding.
You wouldn't be eligible to receive state funding for law enforcement, fire protection, and public health programs.
Do you know how much that would be? If you guys
No, I do not know.
No estimate. It would be 100, 200,000.
The grant program hasn't even started yet, so...
I'm just trying to get a general understanding that if you denied it, how much would be lost revenue, and then how would you replace that revenue?
It would be funding for certain purposes, like enforcement and fire protection purposes. So it's really hard to quantify at this point what would be the loss of funding. So the taxing hasn't been effective yet. Even the state tax, and the state tax on both medical and non-medical marijuana is going to be 15%, and that's going to start in January 2018. Okay. So
I was just trying to get a general understanding of obviously with taxation dollars being a benefit and then a loss of revenue if you didn't approve it, it would seem just like a double whammy. But also, just going back to the consideration of each of the people in here. Obviously, there are a lot of differing opinions. I'm a little nervous, as you can see. But
looking good, though.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. That's the important part. So anyway, but you can see there's a lot of animosity, and there's a lot of different things. But it seems like with the zoning regulations that if they were put in place properly and, you know, and addressed properly, and we you know, if we're all good neighbors, you know, get to know your neighbor and get out there and. Can't get along with everyone, but at least try, I think, huh?
Thank you.
Hi, my name's Luis Esparza. I'm an attorney from Santa Barbara. I have a lot of experience dealing with a lot of these issues. And I think I just want to kind of give my two cents and then it kind of results in a question. The new state law, which is, looks like it's the final product, Senate Bill 94, really gives localities, counties, and cities a lot of deference, a lot of authority in the whole regulation and licensing schemes. I encourage the city to look at Business and Professions Code 26054 et al. And you'll see that the licensing authorities, of which there's three, I think you mentioned there's one, but it's a different licensing agency for the different areas you mentioned, cultivation, retail, and so forth. They'll be reaching out to you guys. They'll be reaching out to the city, looking for information, looking for potential applicants, especially with regards to their priority licensing process. So my question is, does the city of Goleta have somebody in mind who they'll be appointing as the cannabis czar, for lack of a better term? And who's going to be that point person for the information exchange with the state? And I also just encourage the city of Goleta to sort of follow the county's lead. The proposed ordinance that was recently released by the county seems to provide for all the areas that the state licensing applies to. So I encourage the city to do a similar thing rather than excising certain areas or industries out of the area. And I also encourage just reasonable regulations, especially with regards to taxing. Learn from the city of Santa Barbara's mistakes. Frankly, their ordinance has been very problematic. Their permit holders have had a lot of problems, both past and current. And the tax is obscene. You know, 20% on top of 15 state, on top of sales tax. You're already talking to a tax-wary public. So I just encourage something more reasonable to tap into the revenue, but not suppress the industry.
Yeah, and so I can only address the first point. A lot of the entities, local entities, cities, counties, and we are in the same boat too, we're creating these regulations before the January 2018 deadline. Which is when the state plans on issuing licenses for all of the cultivation, testing, distribution, whatnot. And, you know, a lot of the cities like us, we intend on turning over our laws to these state agencies as they start issuing licenses to, you know, understand what we prohibit, what we require local licenses for, so that, you know, they don't end up issuing a license when perhaps a local license has not been obtained. So that's our intention of making sure that we are connected with the state in terms of that connection. Are there any other questions? No, we don't anticipate needing a person to communicate with these agencies. It's a matter of turning over what our licenses are and then having them ensure that they turn in their, I think the state will require that they've met the local licenses. And so they, you know, anybody getting a state license will have to show a city license. I believe Mark has another comment.
So with everyone speaking here, it kind of sparks some ideas. Come, if the city doesn't feel like doing anything, January 1st, there will be temporary operating permits available through the state. The state will contact the city. If the city doesn't feel like regulating and they want to adopt the state law, all they have to do is not say anything, and we will get a state license.
Exactly. So
now, that was a good, that was a solution to your problem of coming up with your own regulations.
Our council has the option to not regulate, to not direct staff to come back with any ordinances. Therefore, state regulations would take place. Anybody wanting to operate a business in Goleta can go ahead and just get a state license and allow to, and then they can operate the business. On the other hand, if council doesn't have a decision by January 2018, it can also choose to just ban all the activities until it figures out what it wants to do. So either there's three options, ban it all until you figure out what you want to do, or not figure out at all, you just want to ban it all, not do anything and allow the state regulations to kick in, or regulate something, put out some regulations before the January 2018 deadline. There's also, you know, there's also the option of not of allowing state laws to kick in and then later passing regulations imposing a license or other type of permit. But then you run into the problem of some people having obtained their state license already. Now you're going to require them to obtain a city license, and that gets a little messy. So staff's recommendation to council would be to, you know, if you ban it all, regulate, or just no regulations.
Jason Jansen, certified public accountant, local Goleta resident. I want to applaud Goleta for doing this today. We need clear, concise regulations so that these businesses can operate legitimately with a clear understanding. We don't know what the number is, but we know that cannabis is the largest agricultural product in the state, currently estimated at $15 billion a year. $21 billion is what we're estimating in 5 years. We need clear laws. We likely need to tax. This isn't my money for Target going down to Ventura. People use cannabis. They're going to continue to use it. And if the city of Goleta doesn't want to pass reasonable laws, they will go elsewhere to get it. Thank you.
And I also like to say that this is not a tried and true industry in any city or county yet. This is a very new enterprise, recreational commercial business operations. So that, you know, cities may pass regulations, but expect that this is a field in which we're going to have to come back and hone those regulations as we see how it plays out. Are there any other questions or comments? Okay, great. Well, thank you everyone for attending. We're going to be taking this item up on the evening of September 5th. I encourage everyone to come and express your opinions. Thank you. Express your opinions. Thank you. To come and